ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासां ततो जायामुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः।
श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 60 वर्स नंबर 15। ययोर आत्मा समम वित्तम जन्मेश्वर्य कृतिर भाव तयोर विवाहो मैत्री च नोतम धम्यो क्वचित् यायोरात्मा समं वित्तम् जन्मेश्वर्य कृतिर्भव तयोर्विवाहो मैत्री च नोतम धम्यायो क्रोचेत ययोरात्मा समं वित्तम् जन्मेश्वर्य कृतिर्भव तयोर्विवाहो मैत्री च नोतमा धम्मयया क्वचित् ययोरात्मा समं वित्तम् जन्मेश्वर्या कृतिर्भव तयोर्विवाहो मैत्री च नोत्तम धम्म यो क्वचित्। Matajis. Yayo, of which two? Atma samam, equal to oneself. Vittam, prosperity. Janma, birth. Aishwarya, influence. Akritihi, आकृति ही और फिजिकल अपीयरेंस, भव पोस्टेरिटी तयो ऑफ देम, विवाह मैरिज, मैत्री फ्रेंडशिप च एंड न नॉट, उत्तम ऑफ अ सुपीरियर, अधम यो एंड एन इन्फीरियर, क्वचित एवर. ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Marriage and friendship are proper between two people who are equal in terms of their wealth, birth, influence, physical appearance, and capacity for good progeny, but never between a superior and an inferior. Purport. Persons of superior and inferior qualities may live together in a relationship of master and servant or teacher and student, but marriage and friendship are proper only between those of equal status. The word bhava in the context of marriage indicates that a couple should have a similar capacity to produce good offspring. Lord Krishna here presents himself as materially unqualified. In fact, the Lord does not have any material qualities. He lives in pure spiritual existence. Thus, all the Lord's opulence are eternal and not of the flimsy, mundane sort.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. नम ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने. नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछाकल्पातरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषे नमः. हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधाकांता नमोस्तुते. ताप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी हरि प्रिये. जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा. हरे कृष्णा राम राम हरे हरे.
सो श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 60 टेक्स्ट 15 वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग अवर डिस्कशन ऑन दिस चैप्टर व्हिच इज एंटाइटल्ड कृष्णा टीज़र्स रुक्मिणी. सो इन दिस study of Srimad Bhagavatam that we have been doing as a yagya. It's a yagya sankirtan where all of us are sitting together and understanding and trying to realize various aspects which are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. And one of the most important outcomes that we want from hearing Bhagavatam, of the many outcomes that we want, it is mentioned Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatir Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. That the one of the outcome of regularly hearing Bhagavatam is that bhakti is established in our heart as an irrevocable fact. And that is done because of the abhadra, all the unwanted things leaving the heart. But another more personal thing that we want to achieve by reading Bhagavatam, which will help us to become realized, is to know the personality of Krishna. Because we are not really understood who is Krishna. We are not really understood his personality. That is why Krishna Bhuliya Jiva Bhogavancha Kare, that because we have forgotten Krishna, because we don't know his glories. If we know somebody is very great, will we ever ignore him? Is it possible that if somebody is very great and we ignore that person? Not possible. But the fact that we have ignored Krishna, that is itself a proof that we have not really understood Krishna. And understanding Krishna means what? Understanding his personality. Understanding what exactly Krishna is. Of course, it is not possible to understand Krishna. It is Ananda Shesh is describing the glories of Krishna since time immemorial, and still he is not able to even describe one small drop of Krishna's unlimited qualities. That's Krishna. But through the Bhagavatam, we get this wonderful opportunity through the various pastimes to understand Krishna's qualities. For example, if we see somebody, you know, in his interaction, you know, he gets very angry too often, then we know that he is an angry person by nature. One of his qualities is an angry person, right? Because when we see the interactions, we can judge a person's personality. Similarly, when we see a person being very, very kind in his activities, and it is shown by his actions, then we understand that this person is very kind by nature. That is his prominent quality. So similarly, over the pages of Bhagavatam, we have seen how Krishna is very, very kind to his devotees. In the form of Narsingadev, we have seen how he was so kind to Prahlad, and he was so, it was death personified for Hiranyakashipu, for somebody who insults or somebody who troubles his devotee. Similarly, in the form of Vamanadev, we saw how Krishna is such a shrewd person, that how very shrewdly he just got all the wealth of Bali Maharaj, of course, for Bali Maharaj's deliverance, but Krishna took it very, very shrewdly. So Krishna is a very shrewd person also. And similarly, we see in the activities of Lord Ram, how he is Maryada Purushottam. We understand his personality as Maryada Purushottam, a person who follows the rules and regulations, to the most closest extent. We understand his personality, right? So here, at least I felt that it is not something that is very, very, that none of us are really qualified to read what we are reading. I mean, I'm sure I can talk about myself. That here we are trying to read the personality of Krishna, and Krishna is teasing his wife, the most foremost wife. To know such an intimate aspect of Krishna's personality, it's only by the mercy of Guru that we have access to this knowledge. Otherwise, please understand, majority of the time that we know talk about God, we talk about how to we should be fearful of God. That God is all powerful, and we have to be fearful of Him, because if we don't do this, then He will be angry. That's the majority understanding of God. Because fear is beginning of love. So majority of time the love of God comes in the beginning in the form of fear of God. But as we have a more deeper understanding, we understand that God is kind. God hates his devotees being troubled, and we understand in Bhagavatam. But please understand, what are we trying to read today? Or rather, what we have been reading in the last few days. The chapter is entitled Krishna Teases Rukmini. Now, for those of you who are married, and those of all of us have friends. Now teasing is a very, very intimate activity. Right. You know, we don't, especially amongst, you know, husband and wife. I don't know how much brahmacharis will understand this. But among husband and wife, teasing is a sign of closeness. That, you know, when husband is in a little frivolous mood, or a wife in the frivolous, there is some teasing which goes on. Now that is very mundane. Very, very mundane. Of course, there are other aspects of teasing which we'll discuss later. But here, a whole chapter is dedicated to Krishna teasing Rukmini. Now, I was just trying to analyze in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto is the most important part of Bhagavatam. And I won't say important, Bhagavatam is, everything is important, but the most sweetest part is the 10th canto, right? You know, if we have a rasgulla is, or rather, not rasgulla, say a gulab jamun, okay? And which a kala jam, which has all the important mawa in the middle, you know, all the dry fruit in the middle, and then there is a kala jam. We have eaten all this, right? So then when you eat it, it is sweet every bite. But the inner portion is very special, because that's where the real, you know, the substance is, right? So the whole Bhagavatam is very sweet, right from beginning word, first word to the end. It is all sweet because it talks about Krishna and his various incarnations. But of that, the 10th canto is very, very special in the middle portion of the Bhagavatam. And of that, one full chapter dedicated to Krishna teasing Rukmini. Now that's something interesting, isn't it? That you dedicate, and Shukadev Goswami dedicates a whole chapter to discuss how Krishna teased Rukmini. Now please understand, what is the other chapters we're talking about in respect to Rukmini? One full chapter is talking about Rukmini's message to Krishna. It's a full chapter, and you can understand how important it is, the message that she wrote, because she was desperate. And there was a whole chapter dedicated to that. The whole chapter dedicated to Krishna kidnapping Rukmini. Because that's also interesting. It's a wonderful story on how Krishna reciprocates with Rukmini. There's a whole chapter talking about Krishna's message. There's a whole chapter talking about Krishna kidnapping Rukmini. And there's a whole chapter dedicated to Krishna marrying Rukmini. It's also very important, because after the message came the kidnapping and then the marriage. And then after a few chapters, we find a whole chapter dedicated to Krishna teasing Rukmini. So you can imagine, it has the same weightage as the weightage given to Krishna kidnapping Rukmini, as the weightage given to, you know, Krishna, Rukmini's message to Krishna, and the same weightage given to marriage of Krishna and Rukmini. Right? So why is it? Bhagavatam, one of the aspects of Bhagavatam is to make us all very, very humble. Because what we are suffering from is this disease of being an egomaniac in a small or a big way. That is why Krishna Bhuliya Jiva. Once you realize the glory of Krishna, there's one way to realize how small we are. Or rather, we may think that we are big, because if we always see people around us who are very small, then it is natural that we are very big. If we stayed in the community of ants and we are the only humans, we'll feel great about ourselves, because, you know, we are just the biggest, and the ants are just crawling. We can just one smash and 50 ants dead. So you feel nice about yourself. But if you stay with people who are giant, then you will realize how useless and small you are. See, it all depends upon what is your status of your mind. When you think you are big, then you will see everybody small. But when you know that Krishna is big, you will automatically feel small. I mean, there is no question of realizing your smallness. But realizing Krishna's greatness automatically makes you feel small. Just like we don't have to really remove the darkness from a dark place, but to just bring light, darkness is gone. So the presence of positivity removes negativity. Not that the removing negativity is important. You understand? Right? So similarly, when we are talking about Krishna, the glory of Krishna, and in this chapter we are talking about Krishna teasing Rukmini. So we understand how great is Krishna, who exactly Krishna is, and how glorious is Rukmini. And when you see the interaction, and why is Krishna teasing Rukmini? What is the purpose? Because if you analyze the definition of teasing, I was just keen. I said, what is the definition of teasing? We all know what is teasing, but the definition, the dictionary meaning, is to make fun or to attempt to provoke and belittle somebody. That's the definition. To make fun, to provoke, and belittle somebody is the definition of teasing. And for those who speak Hindi, this word is very interesting. Chedkani. So when you talk about chedkani kiya usne, that's teasing. So when do we attribute this word chedkani usually? When somebody does some stupid mischief, sad mischief, something that we don't do, isn't it? A boy doing to a girl, chedkani kiya usne, teasing, or some other way. The Krishna is teasing Rukmini here. Now, unfortunately, many times we see in the mundane world, I have seen it, and I'm sorry to say, many times I have seen it even in the society of devotees, that husbands, I'm wives also, but I mean, predominantly husbands, they have this tendency to belittle their wives in front of people. Chup rahe tu, pata nahi kuch bolti hai, chup rahe. And we have seen that, unfortunately, it is prevalent, I would say, so much more in the Indian families. It is somehow they are just ingrained into brains of a man that you can do anything with your wife, you can just shut up. And the woman, not so much now, but earlier, that they would just listen to this, being ridiculed, being teased. And sometimes the husband would use the wife as object of teasing so that everybody else laughs and he gets the pleasure at the cost of his wife. I'm sure all of us have seen that, isn't it? Yes? Right? That was not the purpose of Krishna teasing Rukmini. It is very unfortunate if we do this. And many times we have a tendency to do this. I've seen devotees doing it also, unfortunately. And this is a sign of uncultured behavior. Srila Prabhupada wanted his devotees to be perfect gentlemen. And one of the signs of a gentle husband, or for that matter a gentle wife, is that there is no room for demeaning or casting ill remarks on your respective partners. There is no room for that. That is not a sign of a cultured man or a woman. So this teasing is a sign of uncultured behavior. But when Krishna does it, Om Purnamadas Purnamidam Purnas Purnam Udachite Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnam Eva Vashishyate, that this beautiful invocation verse of Ishopanishad so beautifully makes us understand that everything emanating from Krishna is perfect and complete. Krishna is perfect and complete. And every portion of Krishna is perfect and complete. So whatever Krishna does is perfect. So when we see how wonderfully Krishna behaves, and when we understand how wonderfully Krishna behaves, we'll understand His glory. So the way Krishna is teasing is foremost consort Rukmini. We have read the chapter, and here Krishna is saying, actually, He has said previously, He said, we have no material possessions and we are dear to those who similarly have nothing. Therefore, O slender one, the wealthy hardly ever worship me. And today's verse is saying, marriage and friendship are proper between two people who are equal in terms of wealth, birth, influence and physical appearance and capacity for good progeny, but never between a superior and inferior. O Vaidharbi, this is tomorrow's verse, not being far-sighted, you didn't realize this and you therefore chose us as your husband, even though we have no good qualities and are glorified only by deluded beggars. Now Krishna is ridiculing Rukmini, making her feel that you did a big mistake.
तूने बहुत बड़ी भूल कर दी. Now here you are married, and many a time husband and wife say, "Oh my God, what a mistake I did marrying you." I mean, practically every day they speak to each other. They said, "Oh, what a miss." But Krishna is saying here in a very ridiculing way. He said, "You are such." And here Krishna is saying that I am so inferior. When he talks about marriage should be between equals, now Krishna is saying that I am inferior. You know what am I compared to you? That is an important aspect that we need to understand. We need to dissect this particular verse and understand what is the marma or what is the essence of this verse. Krishna is teasing Rukmini not at the cost of his glorification, but is at the cost of putting himself down. That is Vaishnava behavior if he wants to tease. Please understand, let us analyze. Every time when not that many of us do tease, but we may be teasing. The whole discussion today is going to be on teasing. So when we tease, usually it is the cost of other person being put down and, you know, teru nahi aata hai, mere ko to aata hai. That means what you have done? You don't know this? I know it very well. So what you have done? You put yourself high and you put the other person low. But what is Krishna doing? That he is putting, as I am useless, you are very great. You have done a mistake. Because you have selected a useless person as your husband. And what is most interesting, and that is the reason you find this chapter in Bhagavatam, is how Rukmini reacts. As you go further, please, it is an exciting chapter. Let us all wait for it. That how Rukmini is refuting each and every points put forward by Krishna in such amazing way. And that is why the way a devotee reacts to Krishna's teasing is shown here. And that is why I have got convinced that this chapter is in the Bhagavatam. As important as Krishna kidnapping Rukmini, as important as Krishna marrying Rukmini, is Krishna teasing Rukmini. Not because Krishna is teasing Rukmini, because how Rukmini is reacting to Krishna's teasing. The glory of his devotees. That is why Bhagavatam is wonderful. Because it not only glorifies Krishna, because he's in a little funny mood and he wants to, you know, just, you know, have a pleasure of teasing his wife. Krishna was teasing his wife, as explained by Acharyas, that he wanted to sort of, you know, irritate her. And sometimes teasing is done to irritate somebody. That, you know, you say something and that person gets, "Hey, what are you saying this? I'm not like that." Oh, then you laugh. "Oh, I'm successful in my desire or the purpose of teasing I've achieved because you got irritated." But as you see, Krishna is saying this and Rukmini becomes more and more and more internalized. At the point, she starts crying. And you will see it in the pages. I don't want to really discuss further. It won't be a right justice to the future speakers. But she cries and Krishna, he said, "Oh my God, the purpose is not achieved. It is something else is happening." So he even though he's a controller, he couldn't control Rukmini's emotions the way he wanted her to react. Because the devotee doesn't behave the way sometimes Krishna wants, but he behaves the way it even surprises Krishna. That is a great devotee of the Lord. So here, Rukmini starts crying and then Krishna is trying to pacify and Rukmini categorically refutes. And here, Rukmini says to Krishna, when she is refuting this verse, "I said, yes, I agree to you, Krishna, that marriage cannot be between an inferior and superior person. I fully agree with you. Because yes, you are the most superior person and I am the most inferior." Now Krishna is saying this to prove the fact that he is inferior and Rukmini is superior, and Rukmini is refuting the fact by saying that, "Krishna, you are the most superior. You are the ocean of all good qualities, and who am I? I am just so fortunate to have got you as the husband. Even though I was not deserving. You are Shad Aishwarya Purna. You are the ocean of all good qualities. Who am I? I am an ordinary person. Just fell in love with you. And you, out of the many, many ladies that you could have, you selected me as your wife. I am very fortunate." This is what is Bhagavatam. Competition glorify others. And the Bhagavatam, the perverted reflection of Bhagavatam is the mundane world, where the competition is in glorifying yourself. That is what Bhagavatam shows, a mirror in front of you. This is what is your condition and what is the condition of the spiritual world. How you are always trying to glorify yourself, and here the eternal activity in the spiritual world is how devotees and the Lord are in competition to glorify each other and putting themselves down. This is Vaishnava culture, this is Vaishnava behavior, and this is what we should be having in our relationship with Vaishnavas. At the same time, we must really take this verse a little seriously when we talk about the practical aspects. Not to say that the spiritual life is impractical. When you talk about, say, let's be practical. Many times we say, okay, Prabhuji, let's be practical. Not to say the spiritual practice is impractical and there's something what is called practical day-to-day living. But when we say practical, it means when you are talking about applying this principle in our lives, in our situations. When we know that we are not pure, Krishna and Rukmini are divine personalities. When they tease each other, they behave in the way that we describe, which is very divine. But that's not the way mundane people like us have a capacity of behaving, even if we want to. Because we all have our baggage of previous conditionings that we are carrying with us. And that is why in the purport it is mentioned that is very important when you're talking about intimate relationships in terms of marriage or friendship. It's two things mentioned here. There are two aspects which are very, very where there is intimate relationship between people, between two people or more than two people. It is in marriage, which is obviously two people, and in friendship, which is at a time with two people. That should be only with people who are equal in wealth, birth, influence, and physical appearance. Now, what does it really mean to really apply this principle in our life? In one sense, Krishna consciousness is a process where we are transcending, and we are in a process of transcending the mundane platform, going to the spiritual platform. That's what the purpose is. But while we're in the process of transcending, we are yet not transcended. And we have this tense, right? Past tense, present tense, and future tense. We have learned in our schools, grammar, simple. And there's also a tense called present continuous. Yes, yes? So we are all presently continuing to get purified, but we are yet not purified. It's a present continuous tense. We are process of purification is going on. It has started luckily, so it is not something of the future. It's not a future tense for us luckily because we are sadhakas. We have started the process of deconditioning ourselves. But the fact is it is not complete yet. The deconditioning process is still going on. So till the time we are not 100% purified, we need to abide by the rules of this material world. And the fact is that when we are dealing with somebody, we have a lot of transactions. Right? There are a lot of transactions that we do. When I say transactions, not only in terms of money, but a lot of dealings that happen. And those dealings happen with our baggage of previous conditionings or our upbringing. Right? It is very nice that husband and wife, they come together only because they want to serve Krishna. That is wonderful. They all chant, two devotee husband and, two boys, a boy and a girl who are wanting to get married, they come together and, because they both are chanting Hare Krishna, this is wonderful. That is the common feature. But marriage does not only mean chanting Hare Krishna. If it was wonderful. But we all know it is not just chanting Hare Krishna. There are so many transactions, so many dealings, so many interactions that we need to do on the practical day-to-day level. We have to eat. So a Gujarati wife, if she cooks, I'm just giving an example, that's come to my mind. She will put sugar in the dal, because that's the way Gujaratis eat dal. They put a lot of sugar in the dal. I'm a Gujarati, so I know. And if she's married to a UP, a person from UP, it will be a culture shock for him to see sugar in the dal. Now you will say, Prabhu, what are you talking about, this stupid example on Bhagavatam? Yet it may be stupid, but they are practically wars in the houses because the wife puts sugar in the dal, in devotee houses also. Because that's the way she has been trained to do things for 20, 22 years. She has seen that in her house, and then suddenly she gets married to a different community, which is not a problem. But because it's not so easy for us to transcend, because we are all coming with our own baggage of previous conditionings and our upbringings. That is why, if you see, we had a whole area, for example, where people of the same type would stay, Kumbhar Wada. What is that Wada? It's all Kumbhars would stay there. If you go to Jagannath Puri, even now, there's a whole area where all Pandas, they stay together, right? That one lane. There's all this Pujaris of Lord Jagannath, they're all staying together. And even go to the towns or villages, this is a Desai Chawada. Or thing like that. So all the Desais, all, there was a system like that, they would all stay together, Brahmanas. You know, they would stay together because there was a similar way of living, similar lifestyle, similar thought process, similar occupation, and they would flourish together. And things were very nice that time. And there were a whole section of people who were, nothing wrong at being Shudras. Shudra is not a bad word. But there would all be people who were Bhangis, who would stay together. And that was a wonderful division in society, where all the people would think alike, they would stay together, and people would grow in that society. They would have the schools meant for that particular type of people, and they would all grow together, and it was so nice. I'm not against being, it's not that we're talking about, not to have this, and because right now it's not possible. Right? But as far as possible, this fact is very important, that when you are talking about interacting with people, when there are transactions, when we're talking about dealings with people, it becomes much more easier. I'm not saying it is impossible, much more easier for the transactions to take place without much fire, without much sparks, if the husband or wife or a friend, they're coming from an equal background. We know the story of Krishna and Sudama, and we glorify that. Oh, Krishna was Dwarkadish and Sudama was a pauper, Brahmana. But they were best of friends. That is wonderful. But we also have the story of Dronacharya and Drupad. They were best friends, but from different backgrounds. What happened? The insult. The second story is more realistic. The first story is the exception. What happens in the material world more realistic is the second story of the relationship which got strained between Drupad and Dronacharya. Because Drupad saw, Dronacharya, you are a pauper, I am a king. And you can't be having friends with me. Right? I said, who are you to be friends? It's okay when we were small, we were friends, that's fine. But now what is your social status and what is my social status? And there was a whole war. I mean, there was a whole small war, but there was a whole war which Dronacharya fought to retaliate with Drupad, right? We know the story. And there's also the story of two friends, Krishna Sudama. So yes, we have exceptions to the rule, but the rule remains the rule. So it is important, till the time we are not transcended, that not that we become very rigid about it, but we are very much aware about the fact that when there are close relationship with people, the closeness will be much more easier when you are having some equality. Like here we are all Indians, but I remember when, the first time I went to Ukraine, it's complete, first time I ever traveled abroad, it was Ukraine I went. And, we were just so, everything was in the Ukraine language, nothing you can understand, there's no English that they write, everything. And, I didn't know what to do at the airport because, unlike India where you have the trolleys, freely available there, they charge for the trolley at the airport. So how do I get the money? And we have to put some money and we have to get the trolley out. I didn't have the money. And I tried to speak to one or two people, they just ignored me because they couldn't understand what I spoke, English. And then from far I saw one Indian. I ran to him and said, oh, Bhai Sahab. And we could, we never knew each other, but he saw me and I saw him. He was such a nice. I said, sir, kya karne ka batao yaar? I said, chinta mat karo, kar deta hu aapke liye. So he put a coin because he was a frequent traveler. He just did it. And I thanked him. And of course, we never know each other even now. We separated. But there was some commonality which made the transaction that I was trying to do much easier because he was Indian, I was speaking the same language. It was so wonderful. Right? So when we talk about practical interactions with people, it becomes much more easier. Again, I'm saying the point. It is not that it is impossible that we can't have it. We can have good transactions even with people with different backgrounds, but it becomes much more easier. And when you're talking about sensitive things like marriage, when you talk about sensitive things like friendship, we must seriously consider this fact because this is what Bhagavatam says, this is what Krishna is speaking to Rukmini. Of course, there's a different purpose, but the purport is very clear. Prabhupada's disciples are making very clear that marriage and friendship should be amongst equals, people from equal social strata. Huh? People with, you know. But yes, as devotees, if we are advanced, then we can easily transcend this. That's the power of bhakti, that you could be from whatever strata. You could be, a Sindhi marrying a Punjabi, which is not usually, but you could be best of devotees and staying together happily. That's not a problem. But let us not ignore the fact, as devotees, we tend to have this feeling that none of the material rules apply to me, because I am a devotee of the Lord now. I have transcended all the material rules and I will stay bindas, right? No. We must respect the material rules, they apply to us. And the fact is, unfortunately, it's such a sad thing that we still, even amongst the devotee fraternity, we still have so much of misunderstanding between husband and wife and leading to unfortunate separation. Why is it happening? One of the reasons, I'm not saying the only reason, one of the reasons is there's incompatibility. Because of backgrounds, because of upbringings or whatever. So we need to really consider that in mind. Of course, that should not be the only criteria also. That would make the whole thing very mundane. But we need to really give it due importance. I'm using the word due importance. Not too much importance, but due importance to it when you are considering this aspect. Now, talking about teasing. Many times, teasing is, Krishna is teasing Rukmini here, and I was trying to analyze this aspect of teasing, and it is used, and many times in our preaching also we get teased by people. Like when we are walking, when we are shaven headed, etaklu. So often they said, etaklu, HOT, right? Yes or no? So often, right? We have a choti and somebody pulls your choti from, I was sitting in the bus, somebody pulls your chik and you look. So what is the purpose of doing all these things? Because they are trying to tease you. Now, there are different types of, or different purposes of why people tease. I was trying to analyze it. So that once we understand the purpose, we can understand how to react to it. There's something what is called compliment teasing. And what is that all about? That when somebody sees something very nice in you, and they are impressed by you, and they could be envious of you because of what you have, then in a teasing way, they will glorify you. For example, is it in your Bhagavatam, nobody sleeps, and he will tease you, or something like that, or some glorification. So we should understand that when the tone is of teasing, but the purpose is of complimenting. Because it is not always easy for people to glorify you. And not of other, for you may be doing that yourself, for others also. That is not easy for us to glorify somebody, so we tend to tease that person, but the purpose is to compliment and say that, well, you are doing a good job. So in this case, you should not be getting irritated about this teasing, because the person is simply complimenting you. You should accept that compliment, or you should, and as far as you are concerned, you should not be doing this. The other aspect of teasing is you know, truth teasing. And many times we say a statement which is very, very blunt, and then we use the word, I'm just kidding, you know, don't worry, I'm just kidding, majak kar raha hun. Like we say a blunt statement, I don't like the way you talk. I'm sorry, I'm kidding. What is that? That is actually truth teasing. What is the person doing? Is that he is presenting his honest feelings while softening the blow by giving it an excuse by saying, I'm just kidding, you know, don't take it seriously. But he has conveyed to you already. He has conveyed and then he softens the whole blow by saying that, you know, I'm just kidding. Hey, majak kar raha hun. Don't take it seriously. Right? But it's conveyed to you. So, we should be very conscious of that. Sometimes, you know, juniors, and they might speak a statement, Prabhuji, I'm kidding. But, you know, if a person is conscious, then he will take that point very seriously. He said, there's something that I need to do about this. Even though he said, yeah, he's kidding, but he's not actually kidding. He's trying to really tell me something. So that is in a test, it's a teasing which is done, which is truth teasing, where you are telling the truth to the person. And then, you know, there is something what is called, which is very interesting, it is called the alpha teasing. Therefore, for example, you know, there is a whole group of people and there is one person who is dominating the group. And he finds another person who is trying to dominate. And we see this often. I just give an example. You know, there was one situation in which His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was preaching in one of the colleges in America. And he was outside the campus, and there was a huge gathering around him where he was preaching the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. And the huge gathering. And seeing this huge gathering, one fanatic Christian came running there, and he was observing this, and how he was seeing how people were. I mean, again, nothing against Christians. Today is a wonderful day. It is Good Friday. It's a wonderful day of Lord Jesus Christ's crucifixion and his sacrifice. So, I mean, it is a glorious leader and glorious, a wonderful religion. But this was a fanatic Christian, people who take religion as in a fanatic way. So this was a fanatic Christian. And he was not happy to see people listening to a monk of Indian origin, it looks like Indian. So he was very, very fanatic. I said, you should all stop hearing him. He's Satan. Means he's a demon. Don't listen to him. You'll all go to hell if you listen to him. So try to understand this guy was doing what is called the alpha teasing. There was a person who was dominating the group. It was Radhanath Swami in this case. And this guy was trying to dominate the group. He said, you will go to hell. Hey, how many of you want to go to hell? He asked people like that. You all want to go to hell? And people said, no, I don't want to go to hell. If you listen to me, you'll go to hell. So what he did, he drew a dividing line. That's what alpha teasing means. The person draws a dividing line and he asks a question. And say, you decide which part of the line you want to be. You want to come on this side of my side or you want to go to his side? And the person, no, we don't want to go to hell. I say, come on my side then. So he sorts of dominates the whole discussion. So how do you react to this? So Maharaj, you know, people were sort of confused now. Because they were liking to hear him, but they heard this person who was equally powerful, who was saying that you will go to hell if you listen to this person. And he asked everybody, you want to go to hell? You will go to hell if you listen to him. People said, no, we don't want to go to hell. I said, come on, don't listen to me, come on my side. So Maharaj said, wait a minute. I said, where are you going? He asked. I said, I'm going to heaven because I'm following Christ. I said, where am I going? I said, you're going to go to hell. And where are all these people going? I said, they'll go to hell if they follow you. And Maharaj just made a simple statement. And this is the way you react to teasing. I said, if people like you are going to heaven, then I'm better off in hell. I said, if people like you are going to heaven, then I'm most happy to be in hell because I don't want to be with people like you in heaven. And the whole game turned. Everybody was laughing at this guy. So it was the apparent teasing, which is called alpha teasing, where we encounter this. But by our intelligence, by our patience, we need to react in a right way to teasing. Because people are constantly testing devotees. And the one way that they test devotees is to make them angry. Gussa ho gaya. You can't be a devotee because devotees don't become angry. Right? It's a very easy way to prove that you have lost the battle. Moment you become angry in your arguments. And the people who are in the mood of just exposing you, they'll constantly pose arguments after arguments after arguments to the extent that you become angry. And say, see, he's not a devotee. See, he's got angry. Do devotees become angry? No. See, he got angry. Right? So that is very important. It's called test teasing. So of course, this was another aspect of teasing because we're talking about Krishna teasing Rukmini. On a practical level, what does it mean for us how to deal with this teasing? And I would just like to add, I would just like to end with a beautiful story, the small story about how the Lord was teased by his devotee. We have this wonderful devotee of the Lord, Advaita Acharya. And the Lord will always consider Advaita Acharya to be a great devotee because he was elder by him and he was much older by age. See, he would never allow Advaita Acharya to touch his feet, and he would always touch Advaita Acharya's feet, and Advaita Acharya would be miserable when the Lord did that. Advaita Acharya thought of a plan. And after a few days, a news came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Advaita is preaching Mayavad philosophy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Mayavad bhashya shunile hoy sarvanash. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very dead against Mayavad philosophy, and he said, yeah, Advaita Acharya is preaching Mayavad philosophy. I said, how dare he preach Mayavad philosophy? What happened to him? And then one day, two day, three day, more and more news were coming that Advaita is going to different villages and preaching the Mayavad philosophy and telling people to use bhakti simply as a process, but ultimately the whole purpose of bhakti is to become God. That's what he's preaching. And people are following him in large numbers. So at one place where Advaita Acharya was preaching Mayavad philosophy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. And Advaita came to know this. And through his corner of his eyes, he was seeing the Lord is there. And he became more active in preaching the Mayavad philosophy. He became more powerful in preaching Mayavad philosophy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not control himself. He ran, he pulled Advaita Acharya down, and he threw him down and started beating and punching him. And Advaita started laughing. And you know, everybody was shocked to see the behavior of Chaitanya. He was beating and beating. He said, how dare you preach the Mayavad philosophy? What has happened to Advaita? And he said, he was angry. He said, then Advaita said, oh my dear Lord, where is your respect for me gone now? You always worship me. You always think I'm a senior devotee. Where is it all gone now? And he was laughing. And this is how Advaita seriously teased the Lord. And the Lord was completely stumped. Because the whole purpose of Advaita Acharya was to get the mercy of the Lord in the form of Lord's chastisement. So this is what the spiritual world is all about. Everything apparently negative is used in the spiritual world for the glorification of the Lord and in glorification of his devotees. So even here, the whole chapter when Krishna is teasing Rukmini, you will see how ultimately it gives us wonderful lesson of Vaishnava behavior through this beautiful, apparently negative activity which we understand as teasing. But when Krishna does it, and when we hear it from Bhagavatam, it is such a glorious activity which simply helps us become more close to Krishna and helps us to understand how we should behave in our practical day-to-day dealings. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Adi, adi, adi.